to this place many, many years ago. Brother Scott was a pastor upstairs. And, so we know a lot of you. I know Julie, I was surprised to see her playing the piano the other day. I didn't know she played the piano. And so it is homecoming in a way. And what we like to do is just try to listen to the voice of God as to where we're supposed to go. And I'm glad that he brought us here. And Lord, what should we do? What should we sing? What should we say? And a while back, a little thought came and I read in scripture and I want you to hear what the Lord gave me. And it gets us started, okay? Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let the nation rejoice and be glad. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let the nation rejoice and be glad. He's Lord over all. The heavens declare, the mountains and sea declare his majesty. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let the nations rejoice and be glad. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let the nations rejoice and be glad. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. When I was learning English, that was one of the things that they made us do. Tongue twisters, you know. And that song's a little bit like that. Let the people praise you. God, let the people praise you. And but I learned Betty Botter, bought some butter, but said she my butter is bitter. If I put it in my batter, it made my bitter butter better. No, it was the other way. But anyway, that's what you have to go through if you're born in another country not speaking English. And but I thank God that I went to a school to learn how to speak English. And they happened to be Christian people. It was a mission school in El Paso, Texas. And that's where I first heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It took a long while before they persuaded me to open my heart and let Jesus come and save me. And, you know, but the time came. The right time came. And I opened my heart. And then he called us into this ministry. Would you stand with me, please? And I want you to, I mean, this is family, you know, this is family. So as I sing this chorus that we used for a long time on a TV program, but anyway, let's get together and meet one another. Let us meet the rest of God's family, okay? So I want you to love somebody, move around, shake hands, hug each other, okay? And so go ahead, it's not a long chorus, so there's many people here, so go ahead, shake somebody's hand.
Hello, hello.
Okay, here we go. Let us get together, meet one another. Let us meet the rest of God's big family. We must meet our brother in the name of our Father, for we're members together, members together. Yes, we're members of God's family. We've assembled here today, and we want to sing and pray, giving praise unto our Lord, lifting hearts in one accord. We're not strangers, can't you see? For we live in liberty, for we're members of God's family. Let us get together, meet one another. Let us meet the rest of God's family. We must meet our brother in the name of our Father, for we're members together, members together. Yes, we're members of God's family. You may be seated if you got your hand shaken. If not, you remain standing. We'll set somebody over. Take along with any song that I do here. Take along with it. Hallelujah. but they were strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied and low. As I walk, let me walk close to thee. Now you take a lot of sing. Well, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Can you say amen to that? It's an old song, but it's a good one. Solid. And when this feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely to thy shore. Sing it again. A closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Church up in Michigan, he didn't think that my wife and I would go and sing to his church because it was very small, but they will come, and we did, and we were several times, and then he passed away, and one day we were nearby at a camp meeting, and his wife was there, and as she was coming out, she asked me, Brother Simon, do you play guitar? I said, oh, very little, very little, and she said, I have a guitar that my husband left, and she said, there's some guys that want to buy it. She said, but I'm afraid they wouldn't use it for church, and my husband would not be happy, you know, if she knew that I sold it to somebody that was not using it for church work. So I said, well, what kind of guitar is it? And she said, it's a Martin guitar. I said, oh boy. I said, I'm afraid I couldn't afford to buy something like that. That's one of the top brands, you know, in music. He said, no, 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 I want to give it to you so you can use it in the ministry, you know. And so I've had that. I still can't play it, but I can do chords. You know, I fell off a donkey in Mexico, so my fingers were busted up, and I can't move them, but I struggle. And I write some songs sometimes, and there's one that I put together. and
I have a niece or several nieces in my hometown, and one of the times that I went, I tried to share the gospel with one of them, and she said, "Uncle Simon, not now. Well, what's the matter?" And she said, "I'm studying to be a teacher, and right now we're studying evolution, so don't confuse me." Okay. But I hasten to say, the last time that I was there in my hometown, she was my song leader. She gave her heart to the Lord. She said, "Go get her." And she loves to evangelize. So listen to this song. It's a little hillbilly. I hope you like this. The Marty Robbins style, kind of like that.
He made the sea, rivers, the ocean. He gave me strength when I couldn't stand. He healed my heart when it was breaking. But he's more than creator, provider, or healer. Christ is my Savior. And Lord, he's more than a father, companion, or brother. Christ is my all in all. He made me his own, a child of his kingdom, and he promised me that he'll stand by me. He'll be closer to me than any other, for he's more than creator, provider, my Savior. And Lord, he's more than a father, companion, or brother. Christ is my all.
Song is coming up. I came to this place from a dry, thirsty land. I drifted at heart with no definite plans. Then words of a song from a small Jesus band turned one wasted life all around. I found an oasis of love. Its pastures are green, geese brown. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found the oasis of love. There's food for the hungry, there's joy for the sad, a home for the homeless, kids, moms, and dads. It may not appear your exacting ideal, but it's all that I need and it's real. I found that oasis of love. Its pastures are green, he's brown. A new life is mine with peace from above.
I found an oasis of love. Now I sing to my king, thank and praise him again. Because of his love, this loser can win. Hey, you in the desert of life, come on in and drink from the cup of my friend. I found that oasis of love. Its pastures are green around. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found that oasis of love. I found that oasis of love. Its pastures are green year-round. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found that oasis of love. I found that oasis of love. I found the oasis of love.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I was going to write that one, but somebody else beat me to it. So here's another one.
I will arise. I'm going home. I ain't gonna stay here in Babylon. My father is waiting. He's waiting for me. I will arise. I'm going on home. My father's servants have plenty to spare, but my soul is hungry. I just can't go on. I'm longing to feel my father's care. I will arise. I'm going on home. I will arise. I'm going home. I ain't gonna stay here in Babylon. My father is waiting. He's waiting for me. I will arise. I'm going on home. I won't look back. My past is behind. But I will be safe in my father's arms. I'm leaving behind the husks and the swine. I will arise. I'm going on home. Arise. I'm going home. I ain't gonna stay here in Babylon. My father is waiting. He's waiting for me. I will arise. I'm going on home. I will arise. I'm not going home. I ain't gonna stay here in Babylon. My father is waiting. He's waiting for me. I will arise. I'm going on home. I will arise. I'm going on home.
Prodigal story. You recognize it, didn't you? And after I finished that, I thought, well, the Bible doesn't say that he went to Babylon. For those of you that are, you know, Bible students. And I debated with that. Should I sing it like that? Well, what is Babylon, you know? It was a bad place. A slavery. And awful things that they did to the Jewish people. So I thought, I'll leave it like that. And I'll sing. And it's been a blessing. There's another song I think is coming up. our message, okay? Missions. Before the Lord Jesus went to heaven, he told the disciples, go and preach the gospel to the whole world. And thinking of our life as God has sent us out to different places, there's people hurting everywhere. And the idea came for this song. Give them love and healing oil. Give them love and healing oil, thinking of the Good Samaritan. So I put this little song together. Many times in this long journey, people fall and bruise their soul. They are shattered, crying, lonely. They need love and healing oil. There's people all around, looking in but going on. They can't stop to lend a hand, so the hurt keep hurting on. Give a hand to those you find, lest someday you slip and fall to the broken, troubled mind. Give them love and healing oil. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a place of broken dreams, filled with heartaches, tears, and toil, where the sun no longer shines. Folks need love and healing oil. Jesus said to love your neighbor, bind their wounds and heal the blind. Teach them all that I have said, I will give them peace of mind. Give a hand to those you find, lest someday you slip and fall to the broken, troubled mind. In the love and healing oil, give a hand to those you find, lest someday you slip and fall to the broken, troubled mind. In the love and healing oil, to the broken, troubled mind, in love and healing oil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You heard this coming song. How long do we have anyway? As long as we want to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We exalt the Lord. And like the theme that I shared with Lucy, that's the other Lucy. No. Julie. That's one Julie, the other one is up there. Okay. let me sing this song. Many people made it famous in this country, in other countries as well. Elvis Presley. Well, let me tell you, I like to sing in nursing homes also, you know, and here at Mill Creek. I was there a couple days ago and sang. And as a matter of fact, that's where my wife spent the last 3 months of her life. And this time that I went, I've been there many times, but this time I felt the urge
to go and see the room where she was. And I stood there at the door, and in my mind's eye, I see her. She was the one that gave me the desire and to be involved in what I'm doing. We went to a concert to hear Doug Oldham. I don't know how many have heard Doug Oldham. I believe he has died. But he and Bill Gaither were traveling together back in those days, more than 50 years ago. And Bill was not as famous as he has become. And Doug was already very famous. And so Bill would write the songs and Doug would introduce them to the public. So they were there at a Church of God. They both belonged to the Church of God at that point. And it was a tremendous service. Doug was just a precious brother. And he had everybody crying there at one point with a story that he related. We had already started singing, my wife and I, a song here and a song there, you know, in different churches, camp meeting and all that. And going home that evening, she looked at me and she said, "Honey, one day you'll be doing that." I don't know music, folks. I still don't know music. I say, "Honey, you're crazy." But she wasn't. Because the Lord has taken us to places that we never, never dreamed. Done great and mighty things. So if you don't learn anything else, just learn this. If God can do something with Simon, he can do with you great and mighty things. And if we didn't say another word, that would be sufficient for today. Let him the glory, glory in the Lord. In other words, if any man brags, let him brag about Jesus. And that's what we do, and try to do, to exalt him in our music. And we became good friends with Doug, and at one point we had the privilege of singing with the Gaithers, and I tell the people we did that by default. We were not scheduled, but during intermission at a concert at Mount Pleasant University, Central Michigan, during intermission somebody came, "Simon, Lou is looking for you." Lou was the coordinator of the Gaither concerts. And we knew Lou. And "Simon, the folks want you to sing a song after intermission." I said, "You got to be kidding." And he said, no, seriously." And so I tell Cecilia, "Honey, we're going to sing a song after intermission." She said, "You said what?" I said, "We're going to sing a song after intermission." "Well, I can't sing." And she starts coughing. And I said, what do you mean you can't sing?" She said, "I got a cough." I said, "Honey, you didn't have a cough seconds ago." "Well, I got one now." She was nervous. And it all get out. And so I found a young lady, and I was reminded today, we had a young lady, younger than Julie. And she was playing the piano at the time, and I went and found her. "Marla, we're going to sing a song." "Oh, boy, are we?" "Yeah, let's go backstage and pray. Is Cecilia going to sing?" She's got a cough. So we went backstage to pray, and we're praying. I'm pacing up and down. "What are we going to sing? What are we going to sing?" And she would ask me, "Simon, have you got it yet?" "No, not yet. Keep praying, keep praying." And then Cecilia opened the door. "What are you going to sing?" I said, "Honey, look, these are the top in the world singers. We can't impress them with our music or our singing, voices or whatever." Say, why don't you go out with me and we'll sing the old rugged cross. Okay.
Hello.
So they introduced, you know, the Gaithers came out and sang a little while around the piano like they were in somebody's home. And then Doug introduced us. Oh, boy. So here come clodhoppers, you know. And we started singing. And the Holy Ghost took over. We sang one verse in Spanish. And the people started singing with us. And it was just a holy hush that followed as you could almost feel the Holy Spirit all around that place. We finished our song, we rushed out, you know, and the people clapping. So we came back. And Marla said, what are you going to sing, Sam? Let's sing I'm Free. And we had a ministry going to the Jackson Prison, the largest walled prison in the world in Jackson, Michigan. We used to go with the businessman, what was he called? Anyway, spirit-filled men. We used to go once a month. And I related to the congregation that we always found a brother with a little group in the chapel inside the prison. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I said, that man is freer than many of us outside the prison world, prison walls. I said, Bill wrote this song, I'm Free. We sang it. When we got done and rushed out of there, Bill went back to the piano and said, every pastor that's here, I want you to come forward. Sunday school teachers. By then I was sitting back there. And he said, Simon, you come forward too. He says, and I don't say this in a bragging way. I'm glorying in Jesus, what Jesus can do. He said, if I want to be saved, I want Simon to pray for me. I said, oh Lord. And he gave an invitation which was unheard of in the Gaither concerts because they pay him to get in and stuff. So they don't normally do that. Maybe they do, but I don't know. And many people were saved at that university, at least the audience that came. Something great. Anyway, Elvis Presley made this song famous in Eddie Arnold, Paul Anka, and many others. But a friend of mine changed just one sentence. Elvis sang it. I did it my way. I did it his way. Soon I'll face that final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. But more, much more than this, I did it God's way. Regrets, I've had a few,
And then again, to a funeral mansion. He's made my life anew and gave it all a new dimension. He's planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, but more, much more than this, I did it God's way. Yes, there were times I'm sure he knew when I bit more than I could chew. Yet through it all, when there were doubts, he took them all and worked them out. He faced it all, and he stood tall, and did it God's way. I've laughed and cried. I've been on hilltops and in the valley, but it will be worth it all when Christ takes that final tally. To think I did all that, and may I say, it wasn't my way. Oh no, oh no, not me, but it was God's way. For what is man? What has he got? If not Christ, then he has not to say the things he truly feels and do the will of one who kneels. The Bible shows Christ took the blows and it ain't God's way.
Amen. I'm conscious of the clock. I don't know. I don't see the clock. Maybe you don't have one. Look at Acts chapter 20 for a few moments. How do we get this one up? You just push it up. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Amen. He came and introduced himself to me, and I'm Tom. Right? And then the next one came and introduced himself to me. He says, I'm Tom. Oh boy. This must be the Tom's church or something. But on the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, let's see if we can glean a few things here that might be of help to us these days. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul is coming on a journey on his way to Ephesus, and then passing through, wanted to be at Jerusalem for the Passover. And so he stops here at this place from Miletus, or he came from this place, Miletus, and verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He was not the kind of person that would say, look, this is the gospel, but don't look at me. You know, don't look at me. Paul says, you look at me. Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Not only in church, but everywhere. You've known me.
And this is how he behaved. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations or trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now, the best preaching I believe that you can do is to share the testimony of how God has dealt with you in your life. And much of Paul's teaching are based on his testimony. Proven testimony. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. How many believe that it's scriptural to share house to house? Not only publicly, but from house to house. Testifying. There's the key word. Testifying. Or glorying in the Lord Jesus. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. And to me, that means the religious community represented by the Jews and Greeks, the smart people, I guess, the intellectuals. Testifying to them repentance toward God, turning to God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate one from the other. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. And you might say, I thought you were supposed to be free. But Paul is saying, I go bound in the Spirit. But what a wonderful bondage to be bound in the Spirit. And go knowing that you are being led by the Spirit of God. Whether it's a dangerous place or not. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But listen to what he says in the next verse, 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And what is that ministry? Testifying. Testifying the gospel of the grace of God. That's what it is. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Obviously, he was getting older. And from what I understand, afflicted with his eyesight. So some of his friends wrote many of the epistles, or some of the epistles that he wrote to the churches, because he couldn't see. I don't like to think that I'm old. But this August I'll be 80. 80 years old. And I feel good. Wherefore I take it to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And let me add one more verse, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? Father, again, give special anointing to the rest of the service today, Lord, that we may glorify, lift up Jesus, that we may have receptive hearts. I pray in his name. Amen. We do a lot of missions conferences in different churches of different denominations. And I think it was last year we were in Napanee, Indiana, Living Gospel Church. We have known them for more than 30 years. More than 40 years. Seems like forever. Beautiful people. A lot of them came out of the Amish tradition, and they've been friends, and I'm there just about every year in every missions conference, whether they invite me or not. That's Mexican style, and you show up anyway. And from the beginning, they put our ministry in their budget, and so every year they send us a gift or two. That's how we live. And for the conference, they had all the missionaries they were supporting, and they were present up on the platform. They were going to ask questions so that people would know us a little more or a little better. So when they came to me, Brother Simon, here's the first question. How and when did you receive your call to ministry? And I said, I don't think I got a call. Oh? I think I got a push. Because I didn't have much to offer the Lord. And we had begun singing. And more they kept calling. And then an invitation came for us to go on a crusade to South America. And we were invited. Okay, so we raised the funds to go to, we were going to Colombia and then Ecuador. Just 2 weeks. We landed in Colombia, in Bogota, Colombia, the capital city. And everybody was going through, they checked their papers and going. And I came with my paper, and he looked at them and folded them up and gave them to me, and he said, "You wait here." Okay. So the rest went by, my wife went by, and everybody. And then when he got done, he took me by the arm and said, "You go with me, you come with me." So, where are we going? He said, "Well, you're going back in the plane. Your papers are not in order." "What do you mean?" I said, "Your representative in Miami at the airport, he checked them. He said they were okay." "Well, that's not what they say over there. It's what I say here. It goes." "Oh, boy." I said, "Please, sir, let me go over to my wife and tell her what's happening. And also, she has my birth certificate, which I probably need somewhere." "Well, hurry." So I ran to Cecilia. I said, "Honey, I don't know what's going on. Have the people pray, but give me the birth certificate." And she gave me the birth certificate, and I go back. And our leader of the group was talking to the official, and he says, no, he has to go. Maybe he can get his papers straightened out in Quito. That's where he's going to end up. And nothing made any difference. So he kept pushing me up the ramp as he talked to the pilot. And so before I knew it, I'm flying 35,000 feet above sea level. And I must be honest with you, I cried. I didn't understand God as I understand him now. And I had no idea what was ahead. And I said, "Lord, I wouldn't do this to somebody who was trying to help me." You know? And I said, "I got my kids. This is not right." And I cried before the Lord. Probably most of the way to Quito. In Quito, the pilot introduced me to their their immigration officers, and they took me up to another room. They accused me of all kinds of things. You are, this was the days of Che Guevara and Fidel Castro, you know, back in those days. They said that I was an agent from Cuba on some mission. And I said, sir, I just arrived from the United States. Well, nothing seemed to make any sense. They had fun with me there. And finally they said, well, you wait right here. We'll be right back. And so they both went downstairs, and there was one reporter, newspaper reporter there. And he took his cigarettes out. He said, here, sir, this might help your nerves a little bit. It was the first indication that God gave me that he had a job for me there. It was the first inkling that God was in control. And I said, you know, sir, right now, an ice cold beer would be just right. I said, but you know what? It hasn't been very long that God delivered me both of the beer and the cigarettes. I've given my heart to him. My life belongs to him. And I'm here for a reason. The other men came back, took me downstairs to an older man. He looked at the papers, folded them up, and let him go. But they never bothered to register my name. So my wife and our leader called and called and called. He's not here. His name is not here. So you can imagine Cecilia. And then she had to sing solo, and she never sang solo. She was an alto. But a man that had invited us on the crusade, he played a big accordion that he had. And he could transpose. So he transposed our music to her key. And she was able to minister all that week until our leader went to Quito and found me there. At that time, I had already sung in one church. So much stuff happened in between, so I'm cutting it short. Took me to HCJB radio station, the biggest station in the world, radio station. It's located 10,000 feet above sea level. That's where Quito is. And that it's a shortwave thing. You can hear it here if you have a shortwave radio. And he said, Simon, you're welcome here. He said, your group is coming here next week. And we have room here for you. And of course, I didn't have any luggage. Now, short sleeve. And it's cold in Quito. It's so hot. And Pastor, when I came out of the consulate, there was a Baptist church across the street. I went right in there to pray. And the pastor came, he was a tall fellow. I was shaking. And he says, you know, I wish my clothes would fit you. He said, but they'd be too big. But there's a used clothing store down in a few blocks. Okay. So, our leader, when I was climbing on the plane, he asked me, have you got money? No, I don't have any money. Cecilia's got. So he put a bill in my hand. That's all I had. It was a $50 bill. And I was able to get a room that first night. And so that council did take me to the radio station. I sang. And there at the radio station, this fellow that welcomed me there, he was a top musician. He was introducing a brand new hymn book that he had just compiled. And that afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, he was introducing it to the public. They had a singspiration or whatever. And he asked me, Simon, will you sing a song out of my hymn book? Sure. Hymnos de fe y alabanza. Hymns of faith and praise. And I had the joy of singing. And then when I got there, our leader from Colombia came looking for me and found me there. And I told him, Harry, you never looked so beautiful. Anyway, he commissioned me to go to another city where they were having an every creature crusade. They were trying to reach every creature in that city. So many blocks a day were visited. And every night, services in a rented theater that they had found. And so Harry said, you go and help those guys. They've been going already for 2 months. They need some help. So I went, and sure enough, I went with a guy with a little PA come here, Mexican singer, you know, da, 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 all over the place. You know, I look back. I had the joy of having a little part in that church getting started. Because it became a church. After 2 or 3 months like that, you got a church. That's one of the strategies of Men for Missions International that we're working with. And anyway, it's a long story, but God has used us with no training, with nothing. OMA has run into trouble with a mission in Ecuador at one point. The national church supposedly rebelled. I don't know. But anyway, don't want to criticize one way or the other. But the national church separated from OMS. So OMS had to start all over again. Now, some of you are familiar with the OMS, Oriental Missionary Society. And I worked a lot. At one point, I was ready to sign on the dotted line for Sydney and I to join the mission. But when it came to sign, I could not take the pen and write my name. No. We will go on like we are. We didn't have medical insurance or other things, but no. And so we went like that. But lo and behold, they used us. And they started again in Ecuador. And so when the time came, just right, they had secured a place to begin services. They were already doing, you know, house-to-house visitation, all that. But this was the first formal series of meetings. Guess who they had for speaker and singer? I don't have seminary training or anything like that. A church was started. They purchased several buildings in an old school. It was not old, actually, but something happened that it became necessary for them to get rid of those buildings. OMS bought 3 of them. When the time came to inaugurate the church building, guess who they called to be the speaker? And I was there. And then they opened a seminary in another building. Do you know who was the keynote speaker for the first graduating class in that seminary? Somebody without seminary training. Mexico City. I was the first one that they called to start another church, just like we did in Ecuador. And then it started in Acapulco. They called Cecilia and me. Hey, would you guys be willing to go for a couple months? There's missionaries that need to go on furlough, and we need to have somebody there because it's a new church. Well, where is it? Acapulco. Well, let us pray about it. Okay. That was a short prayer. Acapulco. So we had the joy and privilege of being there in Acapulco and help that church start. And we worked with other missions, Missionary Alliance in Peru. It was a tremendous work. Some of you may know the name Laterno. I know you're involved in heavy equipment. Robert Laterno. At one point, he had more patent things at the patent office in the United States. Building and putting together, inventing machines, road graders all over the country and participating in the Second World War when the runways would be bombed.